Grace, mercy, and the peace of God our Father and of our Lord Jesus, the foundation of our faith, be and abide with us all. Today we're going to conclude the series we've been in for February, talking about wisdom, particularly in 1 Corinthians, in these first few chapters of 1 Corinthians. And as we look at, in this context of the reading that we heard that began in verse 10, if we back up just one verse, Paul, as he's writing, inspired by the Spirit of God, writes this: you are God's building there, setting up the metaphor that he extends then into the reading that we had. Our time, our focus will be more on the first several verses of this section that we heard. So the church is people. So what Paul writes is applicable to building the church, but it applies also to each of us as we build our lives, because we, in fact, are the church. I've never lived in a brand new house when it like just got done in construction, and then the first time that the key is turned and the door is open is me or my family. Never had that experience. The house I grew up in was built in the 1930s. The places that I lived when I was in college, when I was first out of college, you know, various times, the houses that we've bought have all been at least we are the second owner. So I've never had the experience of building a house, but I've been around it enough to have seen some of the things that are necessary. I get emails from Gary Hendra. If you know the Hendras, they lived here and sold their home here and moved. For Gary, it was back to Paradise because he'd grown up in that area. And well, we know what happened in Paradise. The whole town almost was burned to the ground by the fire, including their home that they had bought there. And so they are now under construction. So we're grateful for that. And now I'm getting pictures of what that looks like. So there was a picture of dirt, and then there was a picture of that dirt dug out in a particular way, and then a foundation, and then the studs, joists, whatever those are called. Framing happened, and then subfloor, that was the most recent pictures that I saw. Maybe more has come out since then. So you can watch construction happen, and we have an idea of what that means. Even if we've never been a builder, if we've never built the house, if we're not in the construction field in any way, we know that there's some principles for building wisely. So today we're going to look at four of those principles. And the first is this: build on a solid foundation. That's pretty important. The foundation is important. When I was young, growing up in Southwest Ohio, I lived on a road that had some old farmland on it, big parcels. And so one of those got sold, and there was a development going to happen. This was a development where everybody was going to have, I think, 5 acres. And so there was, you know, house plans and designs. We knew people who bought one of those. And so we knew where they lived. And you had to go from our house down the grade a little ways, and then the driveway, or the kind of private road, turned off and then went down a hill. And then their driveway turned off, and then back kind of in the woods was where their house was being built. Further down that private lane was another place. And construction started, and the foundation was poured, and I remember as a probably 14-year-old walking through the woods and finding this foundation that had like trees growing up in it, in the middle of where the foundation was, because they had, you know, dug the ground and put the things that you use to make the foundation and poured the concrete in there, and it cured. And they took all the, you know, those things off, and okay, the foundation was done, and then realized they had done that right over the top of a spring. So the foundation, I don't know, it might still be there. I don't know if they ever figured out a way to divert the spring and finish the house, or if they just gave up that project and moved to a new location. I actually don't know. And that was like 35 years ago. When I'm visiting my family next, I should just take a walk down the road and see. The foundation is important. Having the right location is important. The Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation is the most important part of the structure. And Paul had laid that foundation in Corinth, as he had said in verse 10, that he laid the foundation. He spent 18 months of his ministry time there, which is a long time for Paul. If you follow Paul's missionary journeys in the book of Acts in particular, but also we can connect some of the pieces from the epistles that he wrote. 18 months for Paul was a long time. A lot of times he'd be chased out of town much earlier than that. They'd send him on his way. You know, we're not interested. We don't like what you're doing, or whatever it was. And Paul would be on the move. And that's how God used Paul to spread the gospel to more places. If Paul had stayed in one location, places like Ephesus and, you know, others may not have received what Paul brought to them, or at least not as soon, not as quickly. 5 years ago, there was a group of us went to Greece and Turkey, and we landed in Athens on the airplane, and pretty much right away got on buses and went out and kind of crossed that peninsula. And Corinth is not far from Athens. So the next morning, Corinth was one of the first things that we actually saw. And it was, to see Corinth was like, wow, there's some really old stuff here. Old building structures. Now, the columns and the building facades, most of that has been rebuilt, restored, but the foundations of that still are there from the time of Paul, from the time of Jesus. These are 2,000 years old, and they're still there because the foundation is that critical, that important. That is something that will last. So Paul says others are building on that foundation. Apollos, we've heard a little bit about Apollos in the prior section. Cephas, that's Peter, is also coming and helping and doing things among the church of Corinth. But the foundation is the foundation that Paul laid. The foundation of the church is Jesus. So by extension, we as the church have the foundation of our lives on Jesus as well. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Maybe that's familiar. That the wise builders build on the rock, and the foolish builders build on what? The sand. But what's building on the rock mean? What does that mean to build on the rock? Right? If you're going to put a foundation like this building here, when it was built, they drilled down to what are those things called? Pilings, right? I think. I don't know. You knew another word. Yeah, pilings here. So they wanted to, you know, drill down and to put those on the bedrock, right? So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said, if anyone hears these words of mine and does what? Puts them into practice, or does them, or carries it out, lives it out. If you hear what I'm saying and you do something about it, you're like the wise person who builds on the rock. That's the foundation. That's the rock on which we build. Verse 11 says, no one can lay a different foundation. We have the foundation. The foundation is Jesus. That's what we build on. And there should be no other. So the foundation is important. We also need to follow a good plan. The end of verse 10 says, someone else is building upon it. Most of the times when construction happens, a contractor who's involved in the whole project, who is overseeing, but it's different people who do different parts of it. It would be rare to find a person who can, you know, take care of all the foundation things and get that concrete poured, and then also go on to the framing and the electrical and the plumbing and the roofing and all the things they have to do, and to finish it and do all of that. Like, that's not in anybody's skill set. There's too many skills that apply. So every construction project, someone else is going to be involved. Someone else is going to be part of the building. Paul could have been really prideful. I laid this foundation. This is mine. Hands off, Apollos. You go find somewhere else. You start that. I got this one. But Paul knew that someone else was going to build on it. Paul also knew he was a finite person. There would be a time there would be no Paul. And therefore, someone else would have to come in and be building So having a plan and following that plan is important. When I was in my mid-20s, my wife and I went to a church called Cross Point, and it had moved from a more urban location out to the suburbs. And after worshiping in a school for a while, acquired some property and built the church. And it was an exciting time when the groundbreaking happened and when the foundation was poured. And we were all really excited during that time. But I remember, you know, the foundation was done and it was all cured. And then they come in and they're like, you know, lines in the concrete of here's where this is going to be and here's where that's going to be, right? So that when the framing happens, the framing boards go in the right spot. It's important. It's according to the plans. So I remember walking through it with the pastor there, and we're walking down what is going to be the hall. And he said, you know, I did have to make a change because right over here are the bathrooms. And the doors to the bathrooms were, and the way the bathroom was arranged was done in such a way that you could be walking down the hall looking in the bathroom and you're looking right at the urinals. So we had to move the doors and put in something else, and so there was a little bit of design change. That plan wasn't completely thought out when construction started. But thankfully, that little error was caught before it was a significant rebuild after things were already finished. Have a good plan. What's the purpose of the building? That's really the first question to ask. If you're going to design a building, what kind of building is it? What's the purpose? What's this for? As the building of this building is a metaphor for the church and for our lives as the body of Christ, what is the purpose of what we are building? As individuals, we build our lives to what purpose? Is the purpose of your life to enjoy life? Is the purpose of your life to achieve some level of success? To retire comfortably? What's the purpose? Now, all those things are good things. To enjoy life is good. To retire comfortably, I hope to do that, right? We all hope to do that. Is the purpose of your life to achieve some level of success? I hope to do that, and I hope we all, you know, aspire to do good things. But what is the real bedrock purpose? And I would submit this, that Jesus followers share the purpose to bring glory to Jesus. That's the purpose. Other things can happen along the way, but the foundational purpose of the life of a Jesus follower is to bring glory to him. And that happens in a huge variety of ways. We can do that, you know, by being working in the church. We can do that by working in the school. We can do that by being a good neighbor. We can do that by being a good friend. We can do that by being a good parent. By putting into practice the words of Jesus, as he said in the parable in Matthew 7. What's the purpose? Once we know the purpose, the design of the building is important. The layout, the entry, the flow, the function. And we need to have a plan. Have you visited the Winchester Mystery House? We finally went there. We'd lived here for almost 7 years, and we finally went to the Winchester Mystery House. It's one of those things that's like, we'll get there sometime. And we thought, well, why not now? So we did. That place is kind of crazy. Some amazing, you know, innovative ideas, some really cool ways that construction was done, some spectacular, beautiful things in that building. And then stairs that go to nowhere and doors that just open to nothing and crazy stuff. And the way that the things are connected and the little narrow passages and the ramp things that are in there. Was there a master plan for this building? I don't think so. Because Mrs. Winchester continued in construction, right? Kept on building, didn't have a sense of this is what we're doing, and once this is done, we're done, right? And there were reasons for that, and you can go and take the tour and hear the legends and all that. Have a plan. They have a plan. It doesn't have to be an orderly, connected, goal-oriented, driven. It doesn't have to be original, created by me or you, actually. Because God's plans are good. God's plans for our lives are good. Let's talk about house plans and what that looks like. In your house, and you probably have, when you have a living room, or you've been in a house with one, right? So as we think about the design and the plan and the purpose, what's the living room for? It's for living. The question for us to think about as we talk about the plan is, where do you spend time? Are you spending time on the foundation of Jesus, in other words? Is your living room in what you're building on the right foundation? We have bedrooms in our homes. Are you resting in Christ? Is that on the foundation under where you find your rest, where you find your peace? We have bathrooms in our homes. What makes us clean? Is that sitting on the foundation of Jesus, where we find ourselves cleansed? With kitchens in our homes, where does your food come from? What sustains you? What are you consuming? Is that from the Lord? Family rooms. Is your family rooted in the foundation of Jesus? We have offices, maybe. How do we make decisions? How do we make plans? How do we handle our finances? Is that built on the foundation of Jesus? We have roofs. I hope you have a roof. Of course you have a roof. What offers protection? What is that based on, the protection that we find? Because a lot of times in our world, the wisdom of the world, and we've hear about that from Paul, you know, a number of times in these three chapters, the wisdom of the world is going to drive us in different directions. It's going to say, oh yeah, your protection comes from all the ways that you can protect yourself. The barriers you can build, the walls that you can put up. You got to protect yourself. You got to protect your assets. You got to keep what's yours. You got to, you know, do all these things. The way that you live, the foundation of life is on you and your strength and your power and your purpose and your drive and your goals. The foundation of our lives, according to Paul here, is Jesus only. That's where we build wisely. For a church, as we recognize that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the individual lives, yes. How we build our individual lives, important. How we build our church, important. We have a sanctuary. Is the foundation of what we do in this sanctuary Jesus? It better be, or we're doing it wrong. That's why we talk about Jesus every week. That's why we remember the cross of Christ every week, because the foundation of our faith is Jesus alone. We have offices here. How is our structure? How is our organization? Is it based on what Jesus would have us do? How are decisions made? Now, I think we're doing pretty well. You know, the foundation of the church is Christ. Our worship is centered on Jesus. But if we ever stray from that, if we ever build on a different foundation that says, oh, we can achieve more, we can do different things, we're gonna come over here and try something new and different. Not that new and different is bad, but if new and different takes us off of the foundation, pulls us away from Jesus as the primary source for all that we know, for all that we do, then we're doing it wrong. Number three, quality is critical. Paul says this in verse 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold or silver, precious stones or wood or hay or straw, the point is this, use quality materials. Remember the story of the three little pigs, right? And there's the pig that builds the house with the straw and the pig that builds the house with the sticks and the pig that builds with brick, whose house was built well. The brick. What are we giving to the Lord? What are you giving to God? Give God your best, I think, is what Paul is getting at here. We build with what we have, right? We use the materials that we have in our that are available to us. But we need to give God what's best, because our work must pass inspection. This is in verse 13. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Tested by fire. The story of the three little pigs, the big bad wolf comes along. He's going to test their construction. It's going to have to pass this inspection, and it'll huff and puff. And will the house get blown down? What I think Paul is writing about here is toward the end, right? At the end of time, when we are going to be judged based on what we have done with what we've been given. We're judged based on, we receive grace, in other words, we receive grace and mercy because of what Jesus has done. Now, what have we done with that? See, the mercy and grace comes because the foundation is good. What have we built on that foundation? Does that make sense? I think it's important to recognize in here, Paul's saying, you're not going to lose your salvation. If you're on the foundation, you're good. But there'll be a testing of us. A testing that doesn't just wait to the end, though, right? Have we experienced testing? Have you had trials? Have you had challenges in your life that puts to the test you, how you live, how you make decisions, where you put your values, and all of that? And work diligently. It's also important. In the quality of what we're doing, to work diligently. There's a phrase in construction, measure twice, cut once. Have you heard that before? I had a friend in college, we were doing a little building project just inside the building, and he gave himself the nickname Precision Cut. Precision Cut Casters. And it's because he said he could measure once and cut once, he'd be done. That worked really well, and it was just, you know, spot on until he cut something too short. Because you cannot go back and redo that one. If you cut it too short, it's too short. If you cut it too long, well, there's a chance. So then that became a joke about precision cut. Work diligently. Do what it takes to build. And work wisely. Not too slowly, because nothing happens. Not too fast, because we might have errors. And based not in the wisdom of the world. Because, as Paul reminds us in verse 19, that's foolishness. The last one is this. Be a team player. Be a team player. Again, Paul talks about other people who are going to be involved. Verses 21 and 22. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. See, no one builds alone. No one carries out the entire construction process from beginning to end alone. I mean, you probably could, but you wouldn't have much of a building. So we work together to do the things we need to do. Paul graciously encouraged another's work. But that's not really the point. The point is this: the Holy Spirit is working in us to carry out the things that God gives us to do, to build on the foundation of Jesus. So work together with others. Ask for help if you need it. Sharpen your skills. Build on what others have done and can do, and collaborate to build on the right foundation. Let's build. Let's build. Let's build on the foundation of Jesus, something that will last. Amen.